The Orchid logo appears. Blumhouse Productions logo appears. Black background in white letters, words appear. Netflix presents. In association with The Orchard. A Blumhouse production. A view looking up from the inside of a box. The top is pulled back, revealing the face of a young man as he looks down into it. He looks up, then back into the box, and he picks up a DVD case.
Holy shit.
He lifts something from the box. The image jars and shakes. He's being recorded. His dark-skinned face wiggles in the frame as he walks and places it on something. He walks out of view with a DVD in hand. The camera shows a brown sofa, red pillows, and a corner desk with a lamp, a baseball, a mug, and some plants. He returns and sits on the sofa, using a remote. He leans forward, watching. He drops the remote and pulls back. He slumps back into the sofa and scratches his head. He walks out of view.
Hello? Hey.
You okay? You look troubled.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's just, yeah, you should pick up some books.
What's going on, buddy?
Remember, I told you I was getting, those calls, and, I had that DVD sent to me.
Oh, no. It's happening again.
A middle-aged man in a dark shirt joins him.
Oh my God.
They sit. The older man places a hand to his mouth.
Just now?
Yeah, that wasn't
him. The man moves towards the object. His face fills the screen.
This person sent you a stuffed baby wolf?
I guess it's...
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, there's also this DVD that was in it.
He plays the DVD again for the older man.
Dave, this is your... That's your home. Dave.
Yeah, I know.
This is serious.
Whoever shot this, they shot it last night.
The older man looks around.
That's me last night.
We have to call the police. You need to call the police. This is serious.
No. I already called the police the last time, and nothing happened, okay? They said they wouldn't...
Well, that's unconscionable.
No,
that's unconscionable.
They didn't even send a patrol car.
That's unconscionable.
Because
so do you have a knife?
Nothing's actually happened.
Where's your gun?
Are you serious?
Well, you need...
I don't own a gun.
You're going to need something.
You can't... It's not
Dave,
necessary.
I don't think you're taking this seriously enough.
I'm sorry. Okay, I just ambushed you.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good.
No.
Good.
Do you want a beer?
I would love one.
Yeah?
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, I think I need some.
Dave goes to get the beer.
Okay, great.
It's crazy, Dave.
The man looks into the hidden lens and smiles. He goes to the stuffed wolf.
Hello.
The picture jiggles as he repositions the wolf so it faces a table, where he sits and smiles as Dave returns.
So, what is going on with you?
Dave hands him a bottle of beer.
Are you serious? What's going on with me? Goddamn, you're awesome. I mean, here you are dealing with this potential stalker situation, and you're concerned with me and my feelings. Fucking love you, man.
Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The man stares at Dave.
This is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two guys just hanging out, throwing back a couple of cold ones. Really wish I didn't have to say what I have to say to you tonight.
Oh, what's that?
Dave fidgets on his chair.
I'm worried about us.
You are?
Aren't you?
Us? We're good. We're friends. We hang out sometimes. We're...
Come on, Dave. You and I both know there's a lot more at stake than that. Okay. Meeting at the same coffee shop on the same Tuesday morning, reading the same exact edition of Infinite Jest. I mean, if that wasn't kismet, if we weren't meant to be best friends or soulmates, I mean, starting out so hot and heavy like that, and then we turn into this. Well, it's disappointing. And I can't help but think if we aren't headed for greatness, then maybe we just end it right here. Tonight.
Okay, I don't think that's necessary.
Dave, if I ask you a question, would you answer me honestly?
Yeah, of course.
Do you ever think about how we met right around the same time you received your first DVD in the mail? You just thought about it, didn't you?
I did.
Dave, you just thought about it.
I didn't, I swear.
Dave, listen to me. It's okay, okay? Everything that's about to happen to you here tonight is okay, and it's not your fault. Do you understand me?
The man rises.
Okay, now listen. There's a camera inside of this wolf.
The picture okay? shakes.
Now, I've been filming you in some way, shape, or form since the day we met. This is Baby Peach Fuzz. Say hi. I was going to record our entire relationship and commemorate it with a beautiful 80-minute film. And you deserve that.
The man sits.
You deserve it because you're a beautiful person, and I want to give that to you so bad, but I can't.
The man secretly pulls a knife.
Ever since I turned 40.
And holds it under the table.
I don't know what's happening to me, Dave. I've lost my inspiration. I have no joy in my work. I don't even know if I can do this.
Dave begins to rise. The man slashes his throat. Blood splatters the wall behind them. He caresses Dave's hair while he dies.
God damn it.
The man throws down the knife and frowns.
What's happening to me?
He looks around, then drinks the beer, still caressing Dave's hair. He stares ahead. Black background, white letters appear. Creep 2. The letters turn red. Credits begin. Mark Duplass, Desiree Akavan, and Karan Soni. Edited by Chris Dahlman. Original music by Julianne Wass. Sound design by Gene Park. Music supervisors Maggie Phillips. Executive producer Mark Duplass. Executive producer Mel Eslin. Executive producer Chris Dahlman. Executive producer Josh Braun. Produced by Jason Blum. Produced by Carolyn Craddock. Written by Mark Duplass and Patrick Bryce. Directed by Patrick Bryce. Several types of online ads appear, each looking for some type of service. A finger appears, ringing a doorbell.
Hi, I'm Sarah. Welcome to Encounters, the show where I look behind the strange world of online personal ads to try to uncover the humanity underneath.
Hey.
A bearded man answers.
I'm Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
I hope you don't mind. I brought my camera.
If you don't mind, Marilyn Monroe already lives on the wall.
Oh, yeah. There she is.
So, you were talking about your pottery earlier.
Yeah.
You were telling me about it.
Who are these people who write these ads? What is their story?
This place has a cold energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the spirit pots that I build are to deflect that cold energy. This is my little Jaws, too. He's like a little shark.
Yeah, it does look like that.
Little Jaws.
Maybe we're all a little bit weirder than we give ourselves credit for.
She performs an exercise with the bearded man. A new ad appears. Talk Buddy.
Can I come in?
Yeah, come in.
What were you looking for when you posted your ad?
You know, life is lonely.
Yeah.
It's nice to have someone to talk to.
Sarah sits in a pool with a man, staring at him. He stares back. She bangs on an iron gate, and that appears Mommy Me M4W. Another man appears.
So subscribe and join me on this journey.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome.
You never know who you might meet on the next.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Encounters.
The man rests his head on her lap.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird.
No.
Sarah's YouTube page is displayed on the computer.
9 views.
She turns the camera towards her face. The video plays in the background.
Hey, this is Sarah. Welcome to Encounters, the web series that nobody gives a shit about, and I am starting to realize why nobody is watching. It's because it sucks.
She looks away.
I think I might be deeply untalented. Oh, man. I thought I had a talent for bringing out something weird and special and taboo and secret in people. That there was a loneliness that I could detect, that I really empathized with. And I see glimpses of it sometimes, and it's so exciting. And I'm close, I can feel it, but I never follow through in the right way. And I'm tired of trying, and I'm tired of failing. It is humiliating. I never expected to make money doing this, but I thought at least I would be able to reach some other weirdos and make something special for them. So I'm Sarah. Welcome to Encounters. This is our finale, the closing episode of the entire season. Join me as we encounter my failure. I hope you enjoy it.
The screen goes black.
Hey, sorry about last night. I got a little bit dramatic, but I'm feeling a lot better now. I've had my coffee, and I found this.
She turns the camera to a personal ad on her computer.
Looking for a videographer. $1,000 for the day. Honesty and emotional bravery a must. Fans of Interview with the Vampire Plus. Let's go deep together. Interesting.
Sarah texts, I'm interested. An ellipsis appears. Then the reply, do you scare easily?
Ooh.
Sarah hesitates before answering. No. The reply, what's your name? She begins typing her name, deletes it.
Fuck it.
Then types it again. And sends it. The answer, that's kind of the name of my favorite song.
What?
She types, what? But another message pops up. Let's meet. In a car, trees sweep by.
Here we are, in the woods. I've been driving 3 hours.
Yeah. Sarah drives. A camera records her from the passenger seat. She looks around her as she drives.
It's a lot more remote than I anticipated. 7:45.
She stops the car.
Okay. Hey. Welcome to Encounters. I'm Sarah. This is episode 10 of 10. And normally this is where I tell you that I'm going to go see John, a mid-level manager at Walgreens, and that we're going to work through his mommy issues through, I don't know, synchronized swimming or some shit. But I don't have that today. I know very little about this guy. He's been ghosting me since he sent me his address. And I have no idea what I'm stepping into. Normally this is not a situation I would allow myself to get into. but maybe that's why this show has been sucking so much. So let's see what happens.
She picks up the camera and exits the car. She films a tree which has a face made of white clay. The image shakes as she climbs down some stairs and approaches two carved wooden doors. One of the doors swing open.
Hello?
She knocks again and enters the house. There's no light. Everything is in shadows. Lights come on. Her camera pans around the room. The picture blurs as the camera swings quickly toward the source of the noise. Sarah zooms on the kitchen where a man uses a blender. He turns and waves.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
He points to his ear.
Oh.
Then the blender.
Hi.
He turns off the blender and turns to face her.
Hi.
Hi.
Green smoothie?
He pours two glasses.
Okay.
Very healthy.
And walks to Sarah.
Kale, four frozen strawberries, one banana, one heaping tablespoon of non-fat plain Greek yogurt, two pinches of spirulina, and one pinch of
cinnamon. He holds a glass toward the camera.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They clink the glasses and drink the smoothie.
It's good.
It's also poisoned. Obviously, I'm kidding. I'm Aaron.
Sarah.
Aaron cocks his head to the side.
Wow, that's your real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Can we start with a hug?
Okay.
The picture sways. Aaron sits down.
I like that you came in already filming.
Yeah, I want you to get your money's worth.
Yeah, you know, people don't really believe in that. You gotta keep the camera on if you want to keep the magic. I mean, wouldn't, you know? You and I kind of have a thing. I like that. It's a nice camera, by the way. Are you a filmmaker by trade?
I shoot wedding videos to make money. I'm actually applying to grad school right now, and I'm trying to save up.
You don't do anything else?
No.
Cool.
What about you? What's your story?
My story, I am what is commonly known as a serial killer. I don't love that nomenclature. I sort of consider myself a murderer, but my numbers are such that I am now classified as a serial killer.
Serial killer.
Okay. Yes, I am a killer. I have killed 39 people. This is something that I love to do. It's the greatest job in the world. It's what I'm built to do. But I'm also turning 40 this year, which is like, grays in the beards, a lot of stuff happening, and it's making me a little midlife-y, and it's kind of sent me into a little bit of a spiral. And I think I fucked myself in the head. I don't trust my instincts anymore, and I feel like I may have lost what made me great. There was a time in my life when I would meet a man at a bar, and I would take him outside and lay him on the floor, and I would put a knife in his chest and gut him open and open his insides, and the universe would reveal itself to me, and it was beautiful. And I felt part of every time and every place that had ever existed. It was my religion. But now it's like a job. And it makes me really fucking sad. And I don't want to get emotional, but I'm having a hard time. But then, I read an article by the great Francis Ford Coppola. He said something that blew my fucking mind. He said, I have not made an original film since The Conversation in 1974. I am not sure I am capable of it, but I really want to keep trying. And man, that hit me like a sack of bricks. Here is a man who is in the middle of his artistic decline. Is he running from it? No, he's embracing it. So I'm like, what am I doing trying to make the films that I used to make? What if I embrace where I'm at right now? What if I make a documentary? And this is where you come in. A documentary about the world's most prolific serial killer that no one knows about. A documentary that you and I make here tonight. Now look, I realize I'm throwing a lot at you. You haven't even had a chance to finish your green smoothie. So if you want to bail, I completely understand. Take your money. No hard feelings. I understand. But if you don't, and I really hope you don't, I can offer you two things. Firstly, I won't kill you over the next 24 hours. That would be counterproductive. And secondly, I will give you the deepest personal access into my soul that you could possibly imagine. I will rip myself open and let you see every last inch of me. And together, I believe we will make magic. But you gotta be into it.
I'm into it.
Aaron stares.
Are you just saying you're into it because you want a job?
No. I've heard you out, and I think this sounds great. Want to do it?
I don't hear any passion in your voice.
Aaron, I want to make this film with you.
He looks at her.
What am I looking at here?
They watch a video.
You'll see.
A young man sits on a bench by a lake. The young man looks around, then turns to stare at the lake again.
Who's this guy?
He's my friend.
Another man approaches the young man from behind.
Oh, is that you?
Oh, Sarah. All good things to those who wait.
The man in the video puts on a mask. Aaron starts whistling.
I might look like the big bad wolf, but I'm as friendly as a rabbit.
The man in the video grabs an axe from his coat.
Oh.
While the man approaches, Aaron counts to three with his fingers. With the axe held before him, the man in the coat creeps towards the sitting young man. He slowly raises the axe and hits the young man in the head.
Shit.
Aaron looks at Sarah. The man in the video hits the head again. And again. He drops the axe and runs away. Aaron turns to Sarah.
So!
Aaron grabs the camera from Sarah and turns the lens to her.
What do you think?
She licks her lips and glances away. Then she smiles.
I think it's interesting.
Did it scare you?
She tilts her head.
Did you want it to scare me?
I'll be right back.
Aaron runs towards the stairs. Sarah turns the camera around, sighing.
Fuck. What the fuck?
The camera zooms in on an axe on the wall above the window in the living room. Aaron returns. Sarah turns her camera in his direction. He wears only a white towel. He stands in front of the fireplace and stares at Sarah, hands on hips.
I was thinking upstairs that when men are in a locker room, they snap towels at each other's genitals without any inhibitions. When women try on clothes in changing rooms, there is no barrier to their intimacy. But with a man and a woman, there is always a wall between them. And that wall is, I wonder what you look like naked. If I'm being honest, that's something I've felt.
He points to him and then to Sarah.
And if we're going to embark on this journey together, we need to tear that wall down. Do you agree?
I agree.
Aaron drops the towel. He fidgets.
How do you feel?
I'm good. You?
I just think it's important that if there is a wall and a gender divide, this is a spiritual journey, so we need to eradicate.
I agree.
Okay, then we're good.
Is it my turn?
I'm sorry?
Can it be my turn now?
The picture turns as the camera is pointed at Sarah.
You can sit down.
Yeah, okay.
The picture jumps as Aaron walks to the sofa. Sarah stands in front of the fireplace.
You got your frame?
Yeah.
Sarah throws aside her black jacket, then her shorts, lastly her white shirt. Then she unhooks her black bra and takes it off. Aaron zooms in on her face. She sighs.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Sarah walks through the kitchen to the bathroom. She positions the camera and sits down on the closed toilet lid.
Holy shit.
She is fully dressed now.
Okay. Sarah, every red flag you have has been raised. He is highly unpredictable and potentially dangerous, and you were not there for 10 minutes before his dick was in your face. Sarah, you were not there for 10 minutes before his dick was in your face. He's everything you've ever wanted in a subject. You have to chase this.
Sarah, come on, we're losing light.
I'm coming.
Sarah bites her lip, then smiles.
I have to do this. And I'm like 99.9% positive he is not a killer. But just in case, because I am not a total fucking idiot. Knife.
She puts a knife in her sock.
I'm coming. 1 minute.
Hey, I'm Sarah. Welcome to Encounters. Here we fucking go.
She picks up the camera and leaves the bathroom. The camera pans the kitchen. Aaron's face fills the screen.
Are you ready to go?
Wow, you're a tough nut to crack. No.
What's up with your beard here?
Sarah zooms in on his beard.
What do you mean?
It's like right there.
Oh, that's just my beard pattern. Some men have little patches. That's just one of my patches. All right, we should get going. We are losing light.
Aaron runs to the door. Sarah follows him. Suddenly, Aaron's face appears again.
Aaron, come on.
Really? All right. Get you at some point.
We'll see about that.
Where are you from?
In a car, the camera pans toward Aaron, who is driving. He wears a wolf mask.
So where did you grow up?
What do you think about my mask?
As a passenger, I'm not super excited about it. Can you see in that thing?
Oh, now you're scared?
Do you believe in God? It could complicate what you do for a living.
You still haven't answered my question about my mask.
I think it's cute.
Aaron pulls over and stops the car.
Really?
Sure. You're a cute little wolf.
What would you say if I told you I'm a naughty wolf?
I'd say that's very scary coming from someone like you.
Okay. Well, what if I told you that at the end of this road, I was going to cut off your head and snuggle fuck it?
Aaron walks along a trail. Sarah follows.
Do you have any friends growing up?
Uh-huh.
Did you have a best friend?
Sure.
What about your best friend?
You're asking a lot of questions. I'm sorry. I have a perfect idyllic spot picked out for this interview. Can we just let's just save it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. You're gonna love it.
Aaron bounds away. They enter a small clearing by a nearly dry riverbed.
Oh, this is really nice.
No. No! No! Where's the water? Where's the fucking water?
That's the water.
No. The raging river of water that was here when I scouted it. It was, you know, I had the whole shot planned. I was going to be here, submerged in the water, up to my neck for the whole Jesus metaphor. And the bridge. That was the final scene. I was going to jump off the bridge, splash into the water. You cut to something really cool. I mean, that's the ending of the scene. We don't have an ending. We don't even have a scene. This is not. No.
Aaron?
Hold on.
Aaron throws a small tree branch into the water. Aaron stares at the almost dry river.
Aaron.
What?
Popola.
Popola?
Coppola.
Why are you saying Coppola? What?
Aaron. Francis. Ford. Coppola. What would he do?
Aaron looks, slowly blinks, then turns his eyes downward.
Huh.
He raises a finger in Sarah's direction.
That's really fucking smart.
The camera pans down from the blue sky, past the bridge to Aaron sitting in shallow water underneath it, his arms undulating slowly.
December, 1978. It was the last days of disco. The Cold War was heating up by the minute. But in a nondescript home, in a nondescript town...
Sorry, what are you doing with your arms?
This is, Sphere, if the visual effects of the water up here, this would be me just sort of floating... with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it feels a little more real. What do you think? Should we?
I don't think you need it.
We don't need it?
No.
The camera returns to the blue sky.
Sorry, I got some sunblock in my eye.
And pans down to Aaron, still underneath the bridge. He wipes his eyes. Aaron squints as he looks to the sky. He points upward.
Airplane. Wait, let's wait this out. It's a really slow airplane. How's the pony?
Beautiful.
Yeah? You sure?
Yep.
Would you mind coming out real quick and just give me a little fix?
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I don't want to get your shoes wet, but I just want to make sure it's right.
Okay.
Yeah, come on out.
Sarah enters the frame as she slowly walks into the water to fix Aaron's ponytail.
Just tighten it.
Sarah gathers his hair.
Oh, I didn't want you to redo... Oh, that's... Okay, no problem. We'll do it. Just do the whole thing.
Again, the camera pans from the sky to Aaron.
December 1978. It was the last days of disco. The Cold War was just heating up. But in a small town...
Aaron looks around and points.
Little bird right there. Hold on. December 1978. It's like a bad joke. Hey! One more. Try it one more time. One more time. I want you to do it. I want you to do it.
Aaron throws a rock at the bird.
No!
He rises and throws more rocks.
This is my movie! It was December, 1978. It was the last days of disco. The Cold War was just...
Aaron, I'm getting a lot of shadow on your face.
Aaron drops his head and covers his face.
You want to retake this?
Aaron looks up at Sarah.
Aaron?
Aaron is still staring. He straightens his back, looking away.
I'm gonna take a break.
Okay.
Aaron gets up and walks towards Sarah.
You'll excuse me.
Aaron leaves the river. A new take begins as the camera sweeps towards the bridge, then back down the riverbed.
Aaron?
The picture shakes as Sarah walks through the woods.
Okay, so it turns out Aaron is a bit of a drama queen.
I'm not sure if he's used to collaboration.
Aaron?
Be a wash. I'm just not ready.
Aaron? Aaron, is that you?
The camera swings right and left. The camera tracks over rocks and trees.
Aaron?
Sarah walks towards the sound. Aaron lies face down on the ground. She reaches for him. She reaches for him. He lifts his hand and laces his fingers with hers and caresses hers with his thumb.
Don't leave.
I won't.
Sarah lets go of his hand and touches his head. The scene goes to black. Sarah turns the camera light on.
Hey. Aaron's not talking anymore. He's kind of shut down since his tantrum at the river. And I don't know if you can hear it, but he's been blasting the same shit 90s jam band song on loop for the past hour. He's so vulnerable right now. And I know the decent thing to do is just give him some space. But at the same time, it would be so easy to go down there and provoke him and get the material I need.
A door is ajar. Sarah opens it, revealing some stairs. She walks down them. Down another flight of stairs and through a hall, she finds another door. She pushes it open. In a dark room, Aaron sits in a jacuzzi. On the tub, a sign reads, "Children must have adult supervision."
Why should I go?
Because I want you to go.
How come?
Because I don't want you to make this documentary anymore. Take your money and go, please.
What's going on? What's the problem?
Sarah, leave.
Aaron, I'm not leaving.
I'm sorry.
You told me once we got started, there was no turning back.
Turn that song back on.
Why?
Because I said so.
Tell me why.
Because it's my favorite song in the world, and I need it because I love it.
What do you love about it?
Maybe because it does more with one instrumental slow jam than any poet with any quill has ever done in the history of time ever.
I've never heard of it before.
Well, you wouldn't have. Barely anyone has. It's from an unknown band from a long time ago.
Tell me about it.
Sarah, I know what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work.
Why won't you tell me about it, Aaron?
Because you think you want to know my story, but I promise you, you do not know my story.
But I do.
Oh, you do? Really?
Yes.
Fine. I was 15 years old, but I could pass for 18 because I was big for my age. I could go to bars and see live music. An obscure band came to town. There weren't more than 7 of us in the audience, but I was mesmerized, in particular by a song called Sarah Loves Her Juicy Fruit. It transported me. That night, I went out of town with the band, and I partied with them where they were staying. I felt like I belonged for the first time. But of course, they had to move on to another city the next day. I walked back towards town, and a man pulled over to offer me a ride. He had a nice, kind face. And as he opened the door, he said something to me. I'll never forget it. He said, "Oh my God. Oh my God. This is gonna be a good day."
Aaron smiles.
He didn't take me back to town. He took me to a remote part of the woods where he beat me within an inch of my life. He gave me a shovel. He forced me to dig my own grave. He tied my hands behind my back and informed me that he would be burying me alive within the next couple of minutes. And I remember thinking to myself, I should be feeling really badly about this man. But he was magnetic. I loved him. He was smart. He was commanding. He was wonderful in all ways. He only had one flaw. He was not very good at tying knots. And as I loosened my hands from behind my back and I wrapped them around his neck, overpowering him with my size.
Aaron mimes choking the man.
I drained his life with my hands. And I thought to myself, well, this is my destiny. Sarah loves her juicy fruit, and Aaron loves to kill. I stripped him of his clothes. I threw his body in the hole he made me dig for myself, and on instinct, I took off my own clothes, and I lay there communing next to him all night, naked. And something very interesting happened. You see, I lied to you earlier.
About what?
About my beard holes. It's not my hair pattern. It's actually a rare disease called trichotillomania. You know, when people pull hairs out of their beard or their scalp or even their eyebrows. You see, my first victim had this disease. And when I laid with him naked, my spirit consumed that from his spirit. And it became a ritual of mine. All of my victims, I lay with them naked, and I take a part of them with me. And here I am now, a strange but wonderful amalgamation of all of the 39 men and women that I have killed, and it has been the most glorious part of my life. It has been my raison d'etre. And now, it's gone. And that is why I am sad. And that is why I have nothing to live for anymore. And that is why I want you to go, because tonight is going to be a very bad, bad night.
Aaron?
Sarah.
Stay right there.
Sarah puts the camera down. Aaron looks sideways at her as she climbs into the tub. She goes behind him and starts to give him a massage.
Close your eyes.
I don't want to.
Do it.
Aaron closes his eyes as she continues. He relaxes. Aaron's head lolls forward and back.
Do you feel better?
A little bit.
Good.
I'm gonna go take a shower now.
Aaron watches as Sarah leaves the bathtub. Reclines again and slowly sinks into the water. The camera now shows a wall sconce and the ceiling of a room.
It's me. Thank you for doing what you just did. I think you are really, really special, and you are inspiring feelings in me that I thought I would never feel again. And
the camera pans down to a knife on the carpeted floor.
I don't know what to do.
Dark silhouettes of furniture move towards the door. He enters a bedroom and passes a large bed with a mirror on the wall above it. A single lamp lights the room. He follows the noise into a bathroom. Mirrored closet doors reflect a red shower curtain. The curtain is drawn shut. His hand slowly reaches towards it. He rips it open. Sarah appears, teeth bared, wearing mask pack on her face. The camera now points upward at the ceiling as Sarah hovers over
Aaron. Yeah, you got me.
How do you feel?
I feel like... Seven, 48, 49, 50. Ready or not, here I come.
Outside, a flashlight beam illuminates the way as Aaron walks down some stairs.
Sarah, where'd you go? I'm coming for you. I got
the beam stops on an old unlatched door.
I think I found you.
The flashlight beam sways back and forth.
Sarah? You being bad. Sarah, where'd you go?
Sarah suddenly appears in a window, pressing her palms against the glass.
Don't scare me!
The picture quakes as Aaron chases Sarah.
Are you rolling, Sarah?
Yeah.
Aaron swings an axe at a log.
Aaron, if I ask you a question, will you answer honestly?
Of course, always.
When you're holding that axe, is there a part of you that wants to ram it into my face? You know, considering your past?
Well, of course. But then, you know, we wouldn't be able to have all the fun we're having. It's interesting. I think I always thought I was going to die before I could share my work with anyone. But now I have you. Which is kind of cool.
Light glints off the axe blade as Aaron smiles and resumes his wood chopping. In another room.
Do you feel remorse for the people you killed?
Maybe a little bit, but I also, I feel like I'm pretty fair to my victims. Like, I try to give them a warning as to what they're walking into. That's why I put stuff in the ad, like, are you a fan of Interview with a Vampire? Like, I want them to know that I'm dangerous. You know, actually, this is... One of my latest was this big old sweetie, and I called him Buddy. And I stuck an axe in a stump outside of the house I rented. He passed by it. He saw it. He came in anyway, and he stayed with me all night, you know? I mean, it's almost like... It's almost like they want to die.
Did you kill him with that axe?
Uh-huh.
Does that mean you're going to murder me with a blender?
That is actually a brilliant idea. I've never thought of that as a weapon before. But alas, Sarah, I promised I wouldn't kill you, and I never lie. Not in the cards for us.
Well, they said you wouldn't kill me within the next 24 hours, so...
Now, why would you bring that up? That only gets you into trouble.
Aaron leans on his pool cue and smiles. In the kitchen, the camera approaches Sarah from behind as she washes dishes.
Hey!
Hey.
What you doing?
The dishes. What are you doing with my camera?
Have you ever spent any time in the woods?
Sure.
You ever just watch a deer, just being a deer?
Sarah stares expressionless, then blinks.
Put that away. That's my job.
The camera pans away from her,
okay,
but then returns. Sarah washes dishes, not noticing that she is still being filmed. Sarah turns to look at him and smiles. In the kitchen, Sarah pours a glass of red wine.
Mommy needs her juice. Where's
the camera shudders as Sarah walks into another room.
Mommy is thirsty. Oh, yes.
This better be a Coppola wine. Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
What are you thinking about?
Thinking about this really cool book that I once read called The Journalist and the Murderer. Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh, it's really great. You've got to give it a read.
What's it about?
It's sort of about the moral quandary that journalists face. You know, how they sometimes have to lie and ingratiate themselves with their subjects. You know, use a little flattery, a little flirtation to get the material they need. And I thought about it while I was watching a little show called Encounters.
Aaron looks at her and wiggles his eyebrows.
Didn't know I knew about that, did you? I know a lot of things, Sarah.
Like what?
Well, I know you don't make wedding videos. And I know you have a knife in your boot.
What are you talking about?
It's okay. Don't worry about it, okay? Look. Let's see. I don't think you've been lying here traditionally. You know, I think you've been playing around with the facts a little bit. But look, everybody does that, okay? Look, it's one of my favorite things to do. It's what I do for a living. But while I do play around with facts, I never lie. My eyes, my heart, my soul, I always tell the truth. And that's the same kind of truth I've been feeling from you here today. So I want you to know everything's okay. I'm not mad. Okay?
Okay.
That said, I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to answer me honestly. Do you believe that I'm a serial killer?
Aaron fixes his eyes on Sarah.
No.
Good. Thank you for your honesty. Why not?
Well... First off, the stories you've been telling are ridiculous.
Okay.
And, like, what's up with this whole documentary? Like, if you were a killer, why would you invite me into your home and have me film you, confess all the details of your murders? Like, what would stop me from going to the police with this?
It's a fair point. It is a moot point, however. You won't go to the police tomorrow, because tomorrow I'll be dead. Because tonight, you are going to kill me.
Aaron sips his wine.
Aaron.
Now, before you protest, I've thought about this. I'm very excited about it, okay? Why would I make my 40th film another random kill film? I've made 39 of those, okay? Also, why would we make some stodgy, pedantic documentary? Plenty of those. You know what we need? A murder film where the pupil fells the king. That's the movie I want to make.
What makes you think I'm going to do this?
Because I know you well enough to know that you will do anything to make a great piece of art. And this will be the most unbelievably exciting episode of Encounters that you can possibly imagine.
Aaron looks at her, then smiles. In the hallway.
I know I just laid a lot on you, but Aaron, I have a lot of experience with this, and I'm going to ease you into it. I'm super excited.
Aaron,
first things first, put that camera down, girl!
What are you doing?
He runs off.
Hey, I said put that camera down, girl!
What's with the mask, Aaron?
And now you remember, this is Peach Fuzz, the friendly wolf. Here, give me the camera.
The picture jiggles.
Okay. Come with me. Come with me. How are you with an axe?
I've never used an axe before.
Okay, choke up on it like a bat. Are you a lefty or a righty?
Aaron hands Sarah the axe.
Okay, you know what? It doesn't matter. Just get into it. Okay, I'm wearing a mask, so you don't have to look into my eyes while you kill me. It's a little difficult. Imagine it's like a cartoon, like a funny noise. Also, I sharpen the axe, it should go straight through my neck. There are very few bones. Let's do it!
Aaron lays his head on the coffee
table. Okay, so just to be clear, you want me to take this axe and chop your head off with it?
Yes, 100%. Camera heard it first. Consider it an assisted suicide. It's totally cool.
All right. Any last words?
Nope. I've talked enough for 10 lifetimes. Wait. Woo! Okay, go for it. Whenever you're ready, just reach back and take a swing.
Sarah holds the axe above her head.
What's wrong?
In the same room, the camera pans from moving feet to Aaron's face.
You rolling, Sarah?
A noose is around his neck.
Your frame?
Yep.
Okie dokie. Okay, so this is a much better idea. I should have thought of this in the first place. This is essentially going to turn this into a passive endeavor. What I'm going to do, I'm going to jump off the ledge, and unless you come and save me, I'm going to die, which makes you complicit in the murder. Pretty cool, right? I mean, obviously, not as cool as putting an axe through my neck, but for a first-timer, it'll do. You ready, Sarah?
Actually, to be honest, I don't really. Oh my god.
Sarah runs to him and tries to pull him loose. He falls.
Can you breathe?
The camera goes black.
Aaron!
The picture bounces.
Sarah!
As Aaron runs up the stairs.
Sarah? You in here? No. Where'd you go? I have a really cool idea.
He goes down some stairs.
And I'm excited about it. Hey, there you are. Okay, so, before sunrise, put the camera above us. I play you Sarah Loves Her Juicy Fruit.
Sarah puts her boots on.
What are you doing? Wait, are you leaving?
She ties her bootlaces.
Jesus. Sarah, did I freak you out by hanging myself?
Fuck off.
What?
I said fuck off.
I'm so. Please don't go, please.
Do you have any idea how fucked up that was?
I'm sorry, I was.
I can't believe you put me in that position.
Can you just stop for a second so I can explain
it? What is wrong with you?
Okay, but wait, just give me one
What's
second.
What's wrong with you?
1 second, please. Just promise me you won't leave. 1 second.
Aaron runs to the basement, picks something up, and returns.
Please.
He gives it to Sarah.
What the fuck is this?
It's a harness.
Sarah examines the harness.
It's what I was wearing underneath my shirt when I hanged myself. I connected a black wire to the harness so I was hanging by my chest and I wouldn't actually hang myself. Look, I'm sorry it freaked you out. I thought, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just... Look, I'm not really good at this, okay? But I'm just gonna lay it out there. I really, really like you. And I'm just trying to connect with you. I'm not really doing a very good job. And I know you don't really want to connect with me, so what I figured I would do is give you what I can give you, which is the best episode of Encounters I can give you. I can be a fucked up guy and show you everything that hopefully gives you what you want as an artist.
Sarah stares. Her eyes smudged by mascara.
Look. Am I a murderer? No. Okay, of course I'm not a murderer.
She combs her hair with her fingers while listening.
Sociopathic, pathological liar who is completely disconnected from the world and people? Yes.
She stares, expressionless.
Am I majorly connecting with you and having a fucking great time today? Because I get to just lie and be weird like I really like to do. Yes. I really like you. And I think you're incredible.
Sarah blinks, surprised.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it'll make a really good scene.
I know, right? I'm sorry I freaked you out.
You really freaked me out.
I'm so sorry.
Sarah and Aaron both appear on camera.
What are we doing?
We're gonna play a game.
What kind of game are we playing?
Sarah adjusts the angle.
It's called Two Lies and a Truth.
You play this game in your castle?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So in Two Lies and a Truth, mm-hmm. you're going to tell three stories, and one of them will be true. And none of that bullshit, like, from your heart.
I got you.
Facts that are technically
okay.
correct.
All right. Two lies, one truth.
And I get to guess which one is the truth.
Okay. I was born 3 months premature. I have never slept with a woman. I can hold my breath for 2.5 minutes.
Okay. I think that it's the breath one.
It's number two.
Aaron shrugs.
You want me to be honest? It's number two.
Sarah smiles.
You're fucking with
me. I wish I was. Did it look like I was fucking with him when you came onto me in the hot tub? Did it look like I knew what I was doing? It was just a weird series of events. I didn't have a normal childhood. You know, I started to notice my chemistry was off, like, in those preteen years, and I had my first sort of, like, psychotic break when I was, like, 14. So I was in an institution until I was about 19, and they didn't really know how to properly medicate then. So by the time I got out, I'd had a split with my family, and you know, I got a job in security, which was mostly older people, so I didn't really consort with people my age, and I just missed the boat. I just missed it.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Nope. Have you ever seen that movie Never Been Kissed?
Yeah.
I should have written and directed that movie. Embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing.
It's really weird, but it's not embarrassing.
Aaron looks away. Sarah gazes at him.
I don't know.
first kiss.
Shut up.
It doesn't have to be a big deal.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd kiss me?
They smile.
Okay. Who makes the move?
Sarah takes Aaron's face in her hands. They kiss. Aaron smiles at her.
That was cool.
Outside, the camera light comes on. Sarah follows Aaron in the woods.
Well, I am super excited about this idea I have.
The climax of the episode.
So where are you taking me?
What am I gonna tell you?
Here, watch your head. All good things to those who wait, my dear.
He holds a branch aside for Sarah.
Come this way.
The flashlight beam bounces as they walk over the rough ground. Aaron stops and turns.
All right, now, before we get started, I do have a surprise for you, but you have to close your eyes.
Why would I close my eyes? There's no fucking way I'm in the middle of nowhere at night with you.
It's a very good point. Point taken. But it will be worth it. Trust me.
Okay.
Aaron waits.
All right.
He slowly approaches. Then dangles a heart-shaped locket in front of the camera.
Open them.
What is this?
It's a symbol. Of my affection for you and of our amazing day we spent together. Sorry, there's a picture of me and another guy in there. I didn't have a chance to make one specifically for you. You were a bit of a surprise. May I?
Okay.
Aaron puts the locket around Sarah's neck.
Cool. All right, it's time for part two. Ready?
Okay.
Aaron grabs Sarah and turns her around.
I don't get it.
Aaron turns her camera towards a hole in the ground.
Oh, shit. When did you dig that?
I dug it before you got here. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be for me or for you, but I think I finally figured it out.
Aaron grabs the camera and turns it on Sarah. A knife enters the frame.
Ta-da!
Sarah reaches towards her boot.
Nope. It's yours. I snuck it out of your boot after I fell on you. Thought for sure you would have noticed that. Are you ready for the grand finale of the episode?
Okay.
The camera zooms in on her. Sarah's brow knits. And her mouth slowly drops open. The camera turns. Aaron grimaces. He pulls the knife blade from his stomach. The camera turns to Sarah.
That's cool, right?
She stares.
We both stab each other, and we both crawl in the grave, and we die together like Romeo and Juliet. And somebody will find the tapes and release them, and it'll be like history together. You're afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not gonna stab you.
He hands her the bloody knife.
Love you too much. Take it. Take the knife. You do it. Come on.
Sarah stares at him.
Do it. Come on.
Sarah runs. The picture bobbles as Aaron chases her.
Sarah. Wait!
Aaron stumbles.
Sarah!
He stands and continues running.
Sarah! Sarah! Sarah!
Aaron stops.
Sarah!
The camera swings left and right over dead branches, trees, and stones.
Sarah! You're in the middle of nowhere!
Come on, Sarah. I have the keys. There's nowhere to go.
The circle of light from the camera sweeps back and forth. The camera light moves to a pile of leaves.
Sarah.
Then wanders across the forest floor.
Come on. Can I finish the episode?
Sarah runs at Aaron. They fight. The picture spins, then stops. The view is tilted. The ground cuts a diagonal swath across the lower left-hand corner of the frame. Sarah runs. Aaron chases her out of view. The picture goes black. The camera points to the hole Aaron dug. A circular mound of dirt rings the edge. A shovel lies just outside the hole, lit only by the camera light. Aaron drags Sarah's limp body towards the hole. They disappear down into it. Aaron's face appears above the rim of dirt around the hole. He struggles out of it. He crawls on hands and knees towards the camera. His clothes and hair are dirty. Flecks of blood dot his face. He looks into the camera lens.
So,
his hair is disheveled. His mouth is open.
I don't think I'm gonna die tonight. I kind of feel bad about it. It's my whole idea in the first place. But Sarah...
A figure moves behind Aaron.
You did it.
It's Sarah.
You made a great, great episode. You should be really proud of yourself.
Sarah climbs out.
I'm bummed you're not going to be here to see it.
Sarah wraps her fingers around the handle of the shovel.
It's kind of ironic because I never thought I was ever going to want to kill again. That was real, and then there was you. I muse.
Sarah drags the shovel towards Aaron.
You inspired me.
She lifts the shovel.
My Coppola.
She swings. Aaron is knocked out of frame. A black background. A crowded city sidewalk. Bicyclists walk their bikes. Pedestrians stroll, some hand in hand. Cars pass. A street vendor sells food. Sarah threads her way through the people, her hands in her pockets. She wears jeans, a white shirt, a jacket, and the heart-shaped locket. She is swallowed in the sea of people. On a different street, people with shopping bags pass. Another street vendor sells his wares. The camera follows Sarah into a subway station. Inside a crowded subway car, she sits. Sarah adjusts her hair. She gazes out a window.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Brooklyn Bell A train. The next stop is 34th Street. Stand clear to close the doors, please.
The camera wobbles as the subway moves. She wears earbuds and stares ahead, her face blank. Sarah stares into the camera lens. Featuring Dave, Iran Soni, Aaron, Mark Duplass, Sarah, Desiree Akavan. Title and credit design, Sebastian Pardo. Visual effects by Local Hero. Special effects by L. Favreau. Stunt coordinator Jeff Garney. Production office coordinator Alana Carrigers.
So peculiar, so beloved.
Situations portrayed in this movie are fictional. Strange Interview, LLC 2017, all rights reserved. Red letters appear. Creep 2. Blumhouse Productions logo appears. The Orchid logo appears.